This is Gavin Dahl with the KVNF Regional Newscast, coming up the first in our series of features on statewide ballot items ahead of the November election. Today, we look at the effort to get rid of the Electoral College. Plus, advocacy groups are calling on the Bureau of Land Management to cancel upcoming oil and gas lease sales. First, here's Jody Peterson with headlines.
A northern Colorado wildfire has destroyed 54 structures, including 25 homes, according to the Larimer County Sheriff's Office. The Cameron Peak Fire in the mountains west of Fort Collins has burned 160 square miles and has crossed into the northern part of Rocky Mountain National Park. It's been burning for a month now and is only 4% contained. Here's some voting news from the Grand Junction Sentinel. Some Mesa County residents have been getting mailers telling them they are not registered to vote. However, these letters do not come from any government office and seem to be based on old and inaccurate records. If you have any concern about whether you are registered to vote, go to the KVNF homepage at kvnf.org and click Voter Registration Info. That will link you to the state's official Vote Colorado website, where you can make sure all your information is correct. Other confusing voter information is coming from the federal government itself. The U.S. Postal Service has been distributing a nationwide mailer about mail-in voting. However, the information it contains is not accurate for Colorado's mail-in voting system. The Postal Service mailer tells voters they must request a mail-in ballot for the November elections. In Colorado, however, every registered voter receives a mail ballot automatically. The mailer also tells voters to mail back their ballots at least a week before the November 3rd election day. But Colorado voters can also drop their ballots off at drop boxes or voting service centers or vote in person. Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold has filed a lawsuit to stop delivery of the misleading flyers, and a judge has issued a temporary restraining order stopping the mailings. For KVNF, this is Jody Peterson.
Advocacy groups are calling on the federal government to cancel upcoming oil and gas lease sales until the price of oil recovers. From KUER in Salt Lake City, Kate Grotzinger reports almost 700,000 acres of public land in the western United States could be leased to energy developers before the end of 2020 if the sales move forward.
Speaking during a recent panel, David Jenkins with the Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship says drilling on public lands in the West already doesn't make sense right now since there's more oil elsewhere in the country.
Once you also factor in the massive amount of lands being offered that have little or no potential for development and the reduced oil demand due to the pandemic, continuing this leasing binge is nothing short of fiscal lunacy.
But Kathleen Scamo with oil advocacy group Western Energy Alliance says the Bureau of Land Management is bound by the Mineral Leasing Act, which allows energy producers to trigger a lease sale by nominating a piece of public land.
It's not a matter of them going, oh, well, oil is down now, so we're not going to hold a lease sale. That's not in the law at all.
The BLM plans to lease almost 30,000 acres of land in central Utah at the end of this month. Around 80,000 acres in southeast Utah were removed from the auction due to pushback from locals. Kate Gretzinger, KUER News.
Colorado voters could change the future of presidential elections this November. If approved, Proposition 113 would keep the state in the National Popular Vote Compact. That's a growing number of states that want to get rid of the Electoral College and instead award their votes to the candidate who wins the most votes nationwide. But as KVNF's Capitol coverage journalist Scott Franz reports, it's facing opposition from conservatives and some rural voters.
Jenny Arndt joined an exclusive club in Colorado politics last year. A bill she sponsored and the governor signed generated so much controversy that opponents organized a petition and got a question issue on the ballot to repeal it.
I hope it prevails at the ballot box, of course, because I believe in it.
Arndt is a Fort Collins Democrat. The last time voters initiated a referendum like this 88 years ago, they struck down the legislature's decision to add a new tax on margarine. But Arndt thinks the national popular vote will be more popular than charging residents an extra nickel for a pound of margarine.
40% of registered voters in California are Republicans who, frankly, never have their voice heard at the federal level. So to me, it is a way to enfranchise every voter in the United States to have their voice heard.
Both supporters and opponents of the national popular vote agree it would change the way presidential campaigns are run, but they disagree over how they would change and who would benefit. Arndt imagines a more inclusive election where more states felt important.
They'd have to run a ground game in 50 states. It would change the way they campaigned.
Candidates have limited time, limited resources.
But Tara Ross sees things differently.
They're going to work to be efficient with those. If you're a Democratic candidate, you probably head out to big cities in New York or California, and you rack up as many votes as you can there. Perhaps you give the environmental lobby everything, you know, everything they want.
Ross is a retired lawyer in Texas who has become one of the strongest defenders of the Electoral College. She's part of a nationwide campaign against the popular vote movement that originated in California.
Without the Electoral College, Republicans, of course, would take a similar tack.
Ross thinks Colorado would be one of the states with the most to lose.
The National Popular Vote Compact would give Colorado's electors to the winner of the national popular vote, even if that person lost by a landslide in Colorado, even if that person did not appear on the ballot in Colorado.
But John Koza thinks voters in Colorado and other states in the Mountain West would benefit from the change. He leads a nonprofit that encourages states to join the national popular vote movement.
If every vote were equal, each of the 12 smallest states would be likely to receive one general election campaign event instead of just one state receiving 12 events.
In other words, a state like Wyoming would be just as important as New Hampshire. While the debate continues at the national level, the campaign in Colorado is heating up. It's the first time voters will decide whether to switch to the system instead of lawmakers.
We now have an all-mail-in ballot. We now do presidential primary voting.
Democrats like State Senator Mike Foote of Lafayette are hosting virtual town halls and recruiting sociology professors to make their case.
We even allow 17-year-olds to vote if they're going to turn 18 by the date of the general election. The national popular vote is the next step to make sure that every voice matters.
Republicans are holding their own rallies and calling thousands of volunteers to vote against it. Rose Puglisi is a Mesa County commissioner.
Our over 2,200 grassroots volunteers are the ones who helped us get this on the ballot, and we are confident that they are going to help us win it.
She says Colorado's influence over several important issues are at stake.
We do not want to cede our voice and our vote to larger population centers like California and New York, because we in Colorado have the ability to influence national policy over water, infrastructure, transportation, and different funding sources.
Meanwhile, State Representative Jenny Arndt isn't upset her bill has generated the controversy that it has. She says she respects the right of voters to challenge it.
Wouldn't it be ironic if I was against that? Because the whole point of the bill is to get people engaged, right?
But even if voters agree with Arndt and keep her law on the books, it does not guarantee a switch to the national popular vote in 2024. To trigger the change, the compact needs to recruit enough states to deliver 270 electoral votes. Right now, the member states can only offer 196. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
That does it for KVNF's regional newscast. Thanks for listening.